What if I told you Tennessee football would go 109 days before picking up a new commit? It's like that ESPN 30 for 30, right? How'd I do? That is true. It was 109 days, but Tennessee has a new football commit. Who is it? We'll tell you here on a Tuesday Locked On Vols, plus Twitter Tuesday. That's all coming up here in the next 30 minutes.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is up, everybody? And welcome into a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kane, or at Locked On Vols. Locked On Vols, completely free, available on all platforms, YouTube coming soon. And you can find it again at underscore Kaner on Twitter. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. And we got a busy, busy show. Segments 1 and 2, Twitter Tuesday questions, where you take over the show. And in segment 3, will you tell you, gosh, how Jeff County did I sound right there? We will tell you about Joshua Joseph, Tennessee's 14th commit for the class of 2022. So looking forward to today's show. It should be fun. Couple of announcements. I put out a little teaser on Twitter. A lot of you guys have been asking me to do a show completely devoted on recruiting. I thought maybe since this week's kind of a wacky schedule, some of you guys will be traveling, some of you guys will be in and out. A lot of the regular listeners, shout out P1s, love you guys, might not be able to listen on Thursday because, of course, Thanksgiving. I thought about recording one at some point this week and releasing it Thursday on Thanksgiving, all about recruiting. And so you can take it or leave it. You can pick it up on Friday, maybe over the weekend. As of right now, I don't believe Tennessee will get another commit this week. So even if I record it today, it should still be, you know, feeling all right by Thursday. So nonetheless, if that's something you wanna see, wanna listen to, let me know. I got some positive feedback on Twitter at Locked On Vols. I put out a little tweet there. You can reply to that if you are a fan or not. But I do plan on having a show every single day this week. Of course, today here on Tuesday, tomorrow Wednesday, potentially a recruiting specialty show on Thursday, and then a preview on Friday. And that is the show layout. All right, let's go ahead and get into Twitter Tuesday here on Locked On Vols. So let's go ahead and dive into, I believe we're going to get James first. James, what are reasonable expectations for Tennessee in 2022? What additions, recruiting, or transfers could move the needle the most significantly? All right, so realistic expectations in 2022, this is off the top of my head. I don't have a schedule in front of me, but I pretty much have it memorized. I mean, Tennessee can win 8 games next year, in my opinion, right? But again, I want to know, how competitive are you against Florida, Georgia, and Alabama? Can you beat a Florida, a first-year head coach in Gainesville? Can you knock off Florida finally, right? Can you take Alabama or Georgia down to the wire? Because to me, you are not significantly growing as a program until you knock off one of the big three. And then from there, you want to start being competitive and having those rivalry games not be so one-sided. You're not going to win every single season, I get that. So 8 wins off the top of my head is what I believe Tennessee's capable of next year. Of course, bowling. Can you knock off a Florida, Georgia, Alabama? That's what I'm looking for. And potentially there's a 9th win on that schedule. Again, I'm not going to dive into it. We're over a year away. But that's just kind of what I have off the top of my head. Tennessee will need to go out and get secondary help. Tennessee will need to go out and get linebacker help. Tennessee will need to go out and get offensive line help, and Tennessee is bringing in likely 2 running backs, and so that should help move the needle a little bit as well. And James is also one of the ones that wants to hear a specialty show about recruiting, so hopefully we'll get that done this week. Let's go to Dub, Twitter Tuesday. Do you know any reason as to why Vincent Snead decommitted this week? Well, again, I cover recruiting, and I've learned to really, really like it. I've learned to enjoy it and respect it. I know recruiting is not everybody's cup of tea, but this is kind of what we in the industry like to call processing, right? It's difficult, but it's time, you know, when coaches say, hey, why don't you go look around and see what else is out there for you, because Tennessee would rather use that spot to bring in another player or, you know, hold it for a February signing or hold it for a transfer portal down the road. So that is what happened with Vincent Snead. I like Vincent. I talked to him. I was on him early in the offseason last year, and, you know, we have a pretty good relationship. So I like Vincent a lot. Hopefully he goes somewhere and balls out. We will go to Adam. Shout out Adam, one of my CN boys. You got a Josh Heupel offense with the same personnel for both QBs. Would you rather have Dobbs or Hooker as your quarterback? Man, that's tough because, I mean, Hendon Hooker, it's so hard to say you'd want another quarterback, you know, over Hendon Hooker right now. And I'm not saying Hendon Hooker's best quarterback in the country. You guys know that. But, man, he's one of the most efficient ones. And it feels like if this is just a match made in heaven right now, Hendon Hooker in this offense, it'd be hard-pressed to find a quarterback that can run this offense better than Hendon Hooker right now. And so it's just scary thinking about what he can do in this offense if he chooses to come back next year. Josh Dobbs is an unreal athlete. I think he would flourish in this offense. I think that they could do even more design runs with Josh Dobbs, and I think that could really help out this offense. They do design runs with Hendon Hooker, but they could do even more with Josh Dobbs. So I'm not going to sit here and say I wouldn't take Josh Dobbs, so I guess that's my answer, but that's tough because, again, there's not too many people that I think could run this offense better than the way Hendon Hooker is right now. He's just he's on some type of tear right now, that is for sure. And we will finish off this segment with Braden. Braden says, he actually has me two here. Who is your dream matchup for a bowl game in the event that we went out and become 7-5? That was actually last week's Twitter Tuesday question, but I will answer it again. Give me Carolina. I like Carolina or Clemson probably in a Belk Bowl situation, or maybe a Music City. Does ACC get? Yeah, ACC is Music City as well, right? Yeah. I like that type. I want to go up against a good quarterback, right? So Sam Howell's a good quarterback. The dude's name that I can't pronounce it at Clemson, I think that he deep down is a good quarterback. He's struggling first year starting for Clemson, but that's kind of what I want. I think you take on Clemson, the name, just on the front of the chest plate, it's going to mean a lot. I know they're struggling this year, and they're not Clemson of last year, 2 years ago. I get all that. But I think a win over Clemson in a bowl game would go a long way. I think a win over Sam Howell in a bowl game would go a long way. Plus, you have the Ty Chandler storyline as well. So I am not, you guys know this, I am not wanting a Jacksonville bowl game on New Year's Eve because that means I can't be back here partying with my friends. That is selfish. You know, it is what it is, but that's kind of where I'm at on that. But I'm pretty much anywhere, man. Like, that is... I just love to, I do like to travel. So, I would love for Tennessee to play in the Houston Bowl. That's not going to happen because they're going to take a team from the SEC West. And, typically Tennessee, teams from the East don't play in that, but man, I'd love to travel to Houston. That would be awesome for me. But, Nashville, Charlotte, Jacksonville, it'd be great if Tennessee played in the Outback Bowl. I would be all for that. You hop on a little Allegiant flight. Okay. You go down there on a Thursday. And, man, I'd be pumped. I love going down there. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. Next one from Braden. How awesome was it to see Grant Furkin get in the game late on Saturday after having him on the show this week? Not only that, but to also see him get a target. Everyone in my section was ecstatic. Yeah, that's what we talked about with him and even with Robert Boswell last week. I mean, when a walk-on gets in the game and when a walk-on makes a play and when a walk-on gets put on scholarship, man, it's not just the other walk-ons rooting on. It's the fan base. It's the every player on the team because, again, you work and you're getting rewarded, even though it's just something minimal. Even though in basketball, when you're up by 40 and you put the walk-ons in there for the last 30 seconds of the game and it just is what it is, hey, you know, it means something. So that was awesome. I was happy for Grant, really happy for Grant that he was able to haul that in. It was a first down catch as well, so good for him. I shot him a text after that, and I said, job well done. That was really, really cool. All right, that will do it here for segment number one. We've got more of your Twitter Tuesday questions in segment number two. But first, guys, I want you to imagine something, okay? This is it. It's the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes, and this is how you're running your business. That is not good for you. Poor visibility can be because you're still relying on old spreadsheets and outdated financing software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. All right, NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control at your financials, inventory, HR planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and right now through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for a special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. That is netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. And it's Prize Picks, all right? It's daily fantasy made easy. The leader in college sports daily fantasy. He offers more props than anyone in the entire world, from the Power Fives to the Group of Fives to the mid-majors. Prize Picks offers any prop you could possibly think of, from yards to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All new users, if you use the promo code Locked On, you're going to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just use the promo code Locked On. You pick the 2 to 5 players, the over and under on the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries as well. You can do some from the NBA, college football, and even hockey. All right, use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less, and Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Use that promo code Locked On, or go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks, it's daily fantasy made easy. Another segment of Twitter Tuesday that's coming up here on Locked On Vols. Can't thank you guys enough for investing into this show, making it a family atmosphere. That's why I love Twitter Tuesday so much, because I get to read your thoughts, your comments, your concerns, and I think it's important to know that without you guys, this show would not happen. Trust me. It is a lot of work, and I love it so much. It is my passion, but without the engagement from you guys, it wouldn't be worth it, in my opinion. So thank you so much. Let's dive back into the questions here on Twitter Tuesday. I'm your host, Eric Kane, @_Kaner on Twitter. And my boy, Tyler. What is up, Tyler? Grew up with this guy, man. I hope you're doing well, brother. Appreciate you listening to the show. You know, we dab it up, and he gives me some hellos up here. But his question is, our last four coaches all went to bowl games in their first seasons as head coach. Then you know what happened. What are some reasons we should not expect the same thing to happen with Coach Heupel? God bless, bro. Tyler, appreciate you, man, and thank you so much for listening. All right, so you know what's different about Josh Heupel right now compared to the other ones? Short answer, I don't know. I mean, you know, whether you want to believe it or not, to anybody listening right now, likely you were all in on Butch Jones year one. You were all in on Jeremy Pruitt year one, right? Some of you guys might have been all in on Derek Dooley year one, and that's okay. It's not like I'm pointing fingers here, okay? You're a fan. You want your team to succeed. You're going to get behind your coach, right? And for the most part, everybody's behind Josh Heupel here in year one. So it's difficult to answer this question because, again, it takes a couple years down the road to truly see how is his recruiting style? How will it pan? I've been saying this the entire time with recruiting. The class of 2022 is not going to be great, okay? It's just not. But are you going to judge Josh Heupel on that coming in mid-January and being so far behind the eight ball? I think it's more or less you need to judge Josh Heupel on the class of 2023 and 2024 and beyond, right? So, I don't know. His offense, will the rest of the SEC start to catch up with it? I mean, maybe, but gosh, I mean, you can't duplicate the pace of the offense. You just can't in preparation. That's why every defense is at a disadvantage starting out every single ball game. I think it's critical that you keep players in the system that can run it. And I think what he's done with what he inherited, sure, you know, Valus Jones is a good player. Cedric Tillman has turned into a good player. Jabari Small is a good player. You know, Hendon Hooker is a good player. But, like, what you've done with the group, with the minimal depth and everything, Josh Heupel and his staff have done more this year with than what they were given than any coach in America, in my opinion, any staff in America. So I would say that would be different, okay? That would be my answer. But I think the true answer to this is something we're just not going to find out for a couple years, because that's just kind of how this works, though. So, Tyler, I appreciate you chiming in, man. I kind of answer what you were looking for there. We will go to Dallas. He's got two questions. How important is momentum at this particular stage of the season for Tennessee? A big win against South Alabama, potentially Vanderbilt. This would create a lot of momentum towards a bowl game and recruiting, the program image as a whole, Heupel, and with the returning players and with retaining players who could dabble in the transfer portal or declare for the NFL draft. Yeah, I think it's big, right? You got the monster win over South Alabama, which you were supposed to. Guys, I wrote my first glance piece for VolQuest yesterday, and that's essentially I spend all morning long when I get off the air, and I dive into the numbers for the opposing team. I look at the player personnel, look at the trends. I look beyond the just the points per game and all that type of stuff. And let me tell you this, Vanderbilt is so bad on paper. I mean, I know I'm probably not breaking any news here, but Vanderbilt is so bad on paper. It's not even funny, but it is still an SEC opponent. And so, you know, it's not going to be a gimme in my opinion. So, but I am expecting a monster win from Tennessee in this one. I am, but will it go a long way? Absolutely. I think it will just, and I think you hit on it there, man, just program image as a whole. Year one, Josh Heupel, regular season 7-5, blowout wins over this team, this team, this team. You hung with Alabama for a while. You hung with Florida for a little bit. You know, it is what it is. Those can be counted as moral victories. It is. I'm not a big believer in moral victories, but look at the play from Cedric Tillman, Hendon Hooker. I think it is important, and I think that it will keep guys like Hendon Hooker and Cedric Tillman saying, I'm probably not going to be drafted high or maybe at all, so why don't I come back, sign a massive name, image, and likeness deal, and let's do this again next year. I think that would go a long way. So, you know, momentum, it is truly a thing. And then if Tennessee wins a bowl game, shit, you're looking at 8-5, you know, on the season. That is, you told us, if we said 8-5 is your end result back in January when everything was going down, I mean, you guys would think we're crazy, right? Next question. Last week, I heard Jake Crane on the J-Boy show make an interesting assumption. If Lincoln Riley does indeed have an offer from LSU, where do you leave Oklahoma? And were to leave Oklahoma, where does that put Tennessee, since most believe Oklahoma would be a dream job for Heupel? Guys, I know we saw this before, and so I don't want to just dismiss it. I get it. I know those pains still hurt, especially when he wins, when he's winning big games in the SEC. Lane Kiffin did this. He left for his dream job. So it's happened before. But man, I just don't see Josh Heupel doing that right now if that were to happen. One thing, Bob Stoops is still very, and I haven't heard this anywhere. This is just me. This is my opinion. Bob Stoops is very much still a part of the program in Oklahoma. He's a retired coach, but he's very active and still involved in around that program. It did not end well with Josh Heupel and Bob Stoops. It just didn't. So I think anytime Bob Stoops is still around the program, I don't think Josh Heupel wants to go back, to be completely frank. And so, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see. Yes, he played quarterback there. He was a good quarterback there. He coached there for a long time, but the breakup at the end was not good. And honestly, I think Josh Heupel loves being here. And I know we can say that about this coach and this coach and this coach. I get all that. But just watching him interact with, I mean, he doesn't want to talk to media, but he's still gracious and cuts up with us a little bit. Watching him at Vol calls, bringing his entire family, using that as a time to eat and fellowship with the other coaches and the other coaches' wives and some of us who were there. I mean, it just feels different in that aspect. So I do believe Josh Heupel likes being here. But again, that would be worth noting. It would be on the radar, and it would be something to worry about, in my opinion, because again, that is his alma mater, and that is, you know, likely a dream job at some point, potentially, you know, if it doesn't work out here. So we'll have to see. But I don't think that would happen year one. But we'll see what Lincoln Riley has to do. We will go over to the Locked On Vols DM account, and we'll talk with Casey. Casey, do we sign 32 with the new rules allowing 7 extra, and what is your opinion on how many out of the transfer portal? Possibly 12? Thanks, I enjoy the show. Casey, thank you so much. I was talking to somebody about this earlier yesterday, and I mean, it's confusing. And to be completely blunt with you, I might be telling you wrong. It's very confusing to understand. So it's all about the numbers. If Tennessee was decimated by the transfer portal losses, then Tennessee can go into the transfer portal up to 7 more times after the allotted 25 for a signing class. Tennessee was decimated by the transfer portal. That means Tennessee would likely be eligible for this. However, Stephen A. Smith, the super senior tally coming back also contributes to that number. So say Cedric Tillman comes back. Well, that takes away from 1 of the 7. Say Hendon Hooker comes back. Well, that takes away from 1 of the 7. So that's to my understanding. So I don't think we'll truly know exactly what that number is until a couple months down the line when we know who's going to be on this roster and coming back. But to answer your question, I do think Tennessee will be very active in the transfer portal. I could see Tennessee, Josh Heupel said numerous times this will be a full class. but he didn't say that it might be a full class of high school players. You could see Tennessee maybe signing 17 or 18 in December and then leaving 8 open for the transfer portal or for February, plus any more allotted you had on top of that for the transfer portal. So this is a one-year exemption. It's very confusing. It is very confusing, and I cover recruiting too. So I don't think a lot of those numbers will be finalized until later on in the offseason. We will end our Twitter Tuesday show, portion of the show, I should say, by taking a question from Ethan. Hey, Eric, I know I'm... Ethan, I'm going to bust your balls a little bit here, man. You said E-R-I-K. My name is E-R-I-C. The only reason I say that is because Eric Ainge is with a K, and I do not want to be associated with Eric Ainge. So, E-R-I-C... Just kidding, Ainge. I like Ainge, but I just wanted to give you a hard time, Ethan. I'm just messing with you. I know I'm early for Twitter Tuesday, but is Alante Taylor eligible next season? With everybody having a COVID season, it's difficult to keep up. Yeah, no kidding, man. If he is done this season, where do you see him going in the draft this summer? No clue where. I haven't even dove. I mean, I am full-fledged Tennessee football right now covering the beat-in season. I have no clue what's going on outside. So... you know, where he might go, potential landing spot, no clue. But what I can say is I thought that maybe he would try to come back and take advantage of that COVID year. As the days and weeks have gone by here later in the season, I don't think that's a possibility anymore. I would fully expect Alante Taylor to not take advantage of the COVID year and explore the draft waters. To my knowledge, Tennessee has not gotten the Reese's Senior Bowl invitations yet. You've been seeing those all over Twitter, right? Seems like everybody in the country has got a Senior Bowl invitation. Well, I don't think Tennessee has gotten theirs yet. And so when they do, Alante Taylor will likely get one, and I would assume he would accept and go play in that Senior Bowl. So that's what I see about Alante Taylor. But yeah, he would technically be eligible to come back next year. He's not a super senior right now. He is a fourth-year senior. All right, job well done, everybody. Thank you so much for diving in and hanging out with me here today on Twitter Tuesday. Hope I got to everybody's questions. If not, I'll make an effort to try to get to them as the week goes on. We will touch base on Tennessee's newest football commit. His name is Joshua Josephs. That's coming up here in segment number 3. But first, Bet Online. It's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. It's football, and nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting, okay? Bet Online has got you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all your sports action this Thanksgiving, so you can head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus by using the promo code LOCKEDON. 50% welcome bonus by using the promo code LOCKEDON, okay? It's not just football either. BetOnline's got pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Las Vegas casino games, so don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is your fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we are stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. One more segment left here on this Tuesday show. We're at fresh out of Twitter Tuesday now. We're going to talk a little cruton here on Locked On Vols. Another big thank you to Sonos. It's the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. You can go to Sonos.com to learn more. Sonos, a proud sponsor of today's episode of Locked On Vols. So, again, I teased it in the cold open. The wait is over. 109 days. It's a time frame that spanned from August the 5th to November the 22nd. Tennessee finally picks up a new commit in pass rusher Joshua Josephs, okay? He becomes the 14th pledge of the class of 2022 for Tennessee. He is joining Caleb Perry, Elijah Herring, and Jordan Phillips as the defensive players in this class so far. He's 6'3", 205 pounds. He chose the Volunteers over Kentucky and Michigan. All right, he was here on October 9th for an official visit when Tennessee wore the black jerseys against South Carolina, and he was over here twice over the summer. I had a chance to write the impact analysis. That's at VolQuest.com, and I'll also link it into the show notes. So if you guys are VolQuesters, if you haven't seen it yet, you can check it out. And I think it's free. I think it's free read, so anybody can check it out, actually. And pretty much you can see all the stuff I wrote about Joshua Josephs. But get this, okay? Listen to this. This is, I called and talked to one of his assistant coaches at North Cobb High School, all right? This is the quote that he had to say on Joshua Josephs. His best football is still in front of him. He's one of the most dynamic kids I've ever coached. His length, he's got His incredible wingspan. He's got the great ability to get off blocks and make plays. You can do anything you want with him. When I got here 2 years ago, they had him playing defensive line. He's an amazing rusher. He's probably the best pass rusher I've ever coached for sure in 21 years. That's saying something. He has the ability to get around the edge with some of the best that you'll see. The great thing about him is his length and his athleticism. You can put him out there as an outside linebacker. He doesn't weigh a ton, but the way he uses every inch of his body and every pound, he'll destroy people who are bigger and stronger. They outweigh him by 50 or 60 pounds, but he knows how to use his body, so he's able to get off the blocks and make the plays. That way, you can put him in space as well. He takes two steps and covers 5 yards. 2 years ago, he had a ton of picks. This year, people didn't really throw to his side. He's going to be one of the best players they get in that recruiting class for sure, I'd say, and he's going to be a great Volunteer. Again, that is Mitch Hingold of North Cobb, the linebackers coach who coached Joshua Josephs again at North Cobb. So, you know, for Josephs, he is, and why I think this is a huge pickup for Tennessee is because, number one, they've been chasing him for a while. Okay, he's been a priority target for a long time, and he's the first true Leo in this class. What is a Leo? Well, that position that Tyler Barron plays and Byron Young plays and Roman Harrison plays, kind of that hybrid defensive end slash outside linebacker, two-point stance, three-point stance, can back up into coverage at times, but really a pass rusher. Tennessee only has three Leos on the roster right now, and it's those three I just mentioned, all three of those guys. Literally, that's all they have. And so Tennessee needs more and more at that position in terms of quantity and quality as well. Tennessee would also like to play two of those Leos at one time in pass rushing situations. You've seen that at times this year with Byron Young and Tyler Barron. But Josephs gives this class the first true Leo. Yeah, sure, Caleb Perry can play that position. Elijah Herring can even play that position, but it's kind of unclear where Tim Banks wants to use those guys. We could see Elijah Herring playing inside for sure. Caleb Perry could be a Leo. He could be inside. Hell, he could even be a star player potentially. So there's a lot of options for Caleb Perry. But, you know, it's imperative that Tennessee gets a Leo in this class. They finally did, and they're still chasing another one. James Pierce of Charlotte, North Carolina. Tennessee would really like to add him as well to pair him with Joshua Josephs in this class, okay? The early signing period, it's just a couple of weeks away. Really, it's almost here, and the Vols are hoping that this commit can spark the flame a little bit. A little bit more on Joshua Joseph. This is my scouting report on him after watching tape and seeing him play and everything a couple of times. His explosion off the line of scrimmage is really, really good. He's got active hands. I sound like a scout right now. He's got active hands. He takes on blocks the right way, keeping separation and then shedding that block and going to make the play. His versatility is a plus. He can play in and out of the box. He's got good coverage skills. Of course, he can rush the passer. He can line up in a two-point stance or a three-point stance. He still has great explosion off the line of scrimmage in either one. His strength is his motor. He makes a ton of tackles with the backside pursuit. That's something that jumps out on film. The new Vol commit does a really nice job of splitting double teams with the tight end and H-back lined up behind the offensive tackle. Also, being an edge player, he sets the edge and forces everything back inside on run plays. You guys probably hear me say that all the time. It is imperative to set the edge and force everything back inside because it's just, let's be smart here. If you don't set the edge, they bounce it outside. You've got maybe one player on the sideline. If you set the edge and force it inside, you've got 8 to 9 of the players that are coming to help you, right? So Joseph does a really, really nice job of setting the edge and forcing it back inside in the run game. So the way I see it, Joshua Josephs has all the tools you want in an edge player and a Leo, but it's up to Tennessee to fine-tune those skills and to get him SEC ready. Plus, he don't weigh a whole lot. Tennessee will need to put about 10 to 15 pounds of muscle on Joshua Josephs here at Tennessee. But again, the 14th commit for the class of 2022, the fourth defensive commit for Tennessee, the first commit in 109 days. His name is Joshua Josephs, and now he is a Volunteer. He's the 78th prospect in the state of Georgia. That is per Rivals attending North Cobb High School in Kennesaw, Georgia. All right, that is going to do it for this episode of Locked On Vols. It's been fun. Thank you guys so much for your involvement, your participation. Can't thank you enough. We'll have Josh Ward coming up on the show tomorrow, Forward Wednesday, and plus a ton of other stuff that we need to get into. Guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody. And now, let me encourage you. See how I thought I was going to end the show right there, but I remember I have one more thing to do. Check out Locked On Bets. Make that your second listen. Your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling. It's your one-stop shop for all of your betting needs. That is Locked On Bets. Check it out now. Make that your second listen. All right, now it's time to end the show. Guys, can't thank you enough. We'll see you tomorrow, and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.